Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. What you're about to hear is a recording that I did on 25th of January 2020. And the photos that you see are photos that I took of Ronnie Kasrils. Who is Ronnie Kasrils? Ronnie Kasrils is one of the top Jewish communists in the time of the war between the blacks and the whites. This guy was a very senior member of the South African Communist Party. This is your classic Jewish communist, actually. This is exactly the kind of person that Adolf Hitler and the Nazis fought against, Jewish communism, or as they called it, Jewish Bolshevism. In fact, in the days when I had my Jewish friend, I actually raised the issue of Ronnie Kasrils, this very guy, whom you see the photo of, which I took on the 25th of January, I actually raised the issue of is this guy a Jewish communist? There was a time about 10 or so years ago when I spoke to my Jewish friend one day and I said to him, you know, didn't Adolf Hitler say something about Jews and communism? Jews being communists or involved in communism? And my Jewish friend went to great lengths over the next week to tell me that Ronnie Kasrils is not Jewish. However, as you will discover in my recordings of the 25th of January, you will hear out of the mouth of Ronnie Kasrils himself, as well as the Jews who were present at the meeting, you will hear them all talking about being Jews and Jewish. Yet my friend had gone to great lengths to tell me, Ronnie Kasrils, he's not Jewish. And his reasoning, I'll get back to the story, but his reasoning is, well, you see, he's an atheist, therefore he cannot be a Jew. And that is the line he took back then. But he's a Jew. His parents are Jewish. His grandparents are Jewish. He grew up in a Jewish community. He identifies with Jews. He's got family in Israel. And there he is, welcomed by the Jewish community. And they're all talking about we Jews. And they're also talking about we whites. So just a bit of background about this recording. The day before this, on the 24th of January, one of my very loyal supporters, a lady, sent me a message late in the evening. It was a Friday evening. She said to me, Jan, tomorrow Ronnie Kasrils is going to be at a book launch. And it's very close to where you live, and you can go there, and I'll give you the address. And I said, yeah, sure. And the more I began to think about it, the more I began to think this might be a really good idea. And I went there, and when I was there, I asked the person hosting this talk, I asked if I could take photos. And I was told, yes, you can go ahead. So I took photos, and I recorded the entire talk. And I got a chance to ask Ronnie Kasrils a question. This is actually the second time in my life that I've had a chance to talk to this Jewish communist. The last time was sometime in the period 1993 to 1995. He doesn't know about the time that I spoke to him before. But I can show you some of the stuff that I got as a direct result of my discussion with him. And One of the things that I got as a result of my discussion with him was his book, Armed and Dangerous, which had just come out, and he was boasting about it. But he also told me where to get other communist literature, which is what I was really after at the time. I must have had a 20-minute discussion with him back then. I phoned up the Communist Party headquarters in Johannesburg, and I said to them, listen, I'm a budding communist. I'm very, very interested in communism. I want to learn as much as I can about communism. The reason I said that was because I was looking for communist literature. I had heard that the communists, the South African Communist Party, has got a journal, and the journal is called The African Communist. And I wanted to get my hands on that journal, because in the Communist Party journal, I wanted to see what these scum-sucking pigs have in store for us whites in South Africa. So one day I hit on the idea, let me phone the Communist Party, and back then we didn't have cell phones, we just had landlines. Let me phone the Communist Party and see if I can find out how do I subscribe to or get copies of The African Communist. Well, to my utter amazement, when I phoned them, they said, yeah, we'll put you through to someone. And they put me straight through to Ronnie Casrils. He and I had a 20-minute discussion. I kid you not. The two of us had a long 20-minute discussion. And I was saying to him, I'm so interested in communism. Where can I get literature? And he said to me, well, what you do is you go into Johannesburg and you go there, and in there at on that street corner, you'll find that little shop and you'll find all our literature there. And I went there, and in that little shop, it was filled with communist literature from all over the world. I'd never known that there were so many communist publications in the world. My jaw just about hit the floor. There was communist magazines and journals from all across the world, Europe, you name it. And it is there that I went and I got copies of The African Communist. And I managed to get a couple of copies over a period of time because I wanted to read what have these people got in store for us. And I still have those very journals that I got back then. I still have them in my possession. But anyway, here was a chance to talk to him face to face. And I went with my friend, and we listened to his talk and the question and answer session about his latest book, his third book. And I was looking for an opportunity to try and ask him a question. And they didn't have much of a question and answer session, but I managed to get the first real question in. And I'd thought hard about how I'm going to phrase this thing in the hope that I can get as much information out of him as possible. And I gave him a story, and he actually went on and he started talking quite a lot. And he actually said a whole bunch of interesting things, really interesting stuff. And I did my utmost to be friendly and to try to encourage him more and to see if I could possibly get in a second question. But somebody else came and asked another question, and then they cut the rest of it short. But I did get quite a good chunk of time where he spoke and he answered my question. Just to give you an idea that this guy is no lightweight. On Wikipedia, it mentions that in 1994, he became a member of the Transitional Executive Council's Sub-Council on Defense. He was appointed as Deputy Minister of Defense on 24 June 1994, and he held that post until 1999. Then he was the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry from 1999 to 2004. Then in 2004, and I must tell you this was creepy for me, this guy was appointed Minister of Intelligence Services in 2004. And he held that position until 2008. His only criticisms of the ANC are his criticisms of Jacob Zuma, but that is an internal tribal thing, and that has to do with Zuma being a Zulu. That's a whole other story. It's an internal battle, and the Jew is siding with all the other blacks against Zuma. He's doing the traditional thing there. Another thing that Casserole's played a role in that a lot of people don't really know or take notice of is in 1992, there was a thing called the Bishu Massacre. And basically what happened was the top leaders of the Communist Party actually deliberately led unarmed blacks into a situation where they would clash with the black troops of a black homeland inside South Africa. And if you understand communism, you'll know that communists create incidents and they get people killed so that they can then use it for politics. So then they say, oh, but you killed these people and you did that and you massacred these people and therefore you're evil, etc. They deliberately get people killed so that they can then do their politics. That's how communists work. And the Bishu Massacre is a total classic. And he actually played a critical role in it. And it says on Wikipedia, it says that Casserole's led an unarmed group in an attempt to break through the Ciskei Defense Force lines to enter Bishu. In other words, he was breaking the law. And these black troops from this black homeland, run by blacks, by the way, because this is apartheid. There are parts of South Africa that are run by blacks. And so these black troops then shoot on these unarmed people with him, and they ended up killing 28 and injuring over 200. And so then the communists and the ANC all scream and shout, oh, the Bishu Massacre, the cruelty, the blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they themselves actually created the situation. They brought in 80,000 protesters and they deliberately created an incident that could then be played out in the news media. And then they can go and make political hay out of this situation that they've created. That's how communism works. They create problems and then they screech about it, and the worldwide Jewish mass media is also there, you know, pumping up the story. Oh, these terrible people of apartheid, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, Casserole's was one of the people who actually led people into a situation where they knew the Ciskei Defense Force would shoot at them and people were then killed. But that's how commies operate. So Bishu Massacre, he played a critical role in that. And it even says so on the internet. But I remember it from that time. So this guy was Deputy Minister of Defense and he was the Minister of Intelligence. A very powerful position. And I cringed at the time that he became the Minister of Intelligence. I must tell you, I wondered to myself, what the hell is he going to get up to? Just a note, in this particular video, you're not going to get the question and answer session. That's not in this video. What you're going to hear is stuff from just his general chat during the book launch. You're going to listen to two short clips from the talk that Ronnie Casserole's gave. And in these two short clips, I've pulled these two short clips out so that you can hear something specific where he's talking about the blacks killing the whites. Now, there was a lot of noise at the time that I recorded this because this was done in a house and there were cars driving outside. And in the second clip, there was even a motorbike racing along outside, making an enormous noise, drowning him out. So in both of these clips, especially the second clip, I did a lot of noise reduction to try and get the background noise out so that you can hear him clearer. So you'll hear his voice becoming more thin, and that's the places where the noise reduction really kicked in. But in this very first one, these are short clips. They're like a minute or so. In these short clips, in the first one, listen carefully to what he talks about the whites of South Africa fearing these blacks who are going to come and rule us, and that the Afrikaans speakers, the Boers and the Afrikaners, the Afrikaans speakers, that they think the blacks are going to kill them. And then he talks about the idea that the blacks will kill the Afrikaners the most and then take it easier on the English-speaking whites and the Jews. So that'll give you some idea of the notion of how the Jews are seeing this thing. They see themselves as a target, but they are making sure that they're on the side of the blacks so that the blacks don't kill them. They're expecting that all is going to be good between them and the blacks, while the blacks kill the Afrikaans speakers and the English speakers. But you'll get a sense of what he's trying to get across there. And there you hear it out of the mouth of a Jew, that the issue is that Jews are hoping they are the ones that are going to be the least affected of the, quotes, white people. Because you'll hear in the other clip where he talks about us whites. Now, for those of you who are in America, you are well aware that Jews in America do not describe themselves as white. Even though they look white, Jews openly state that they are not white, even though they look white. And they are of European descent, many of them. And they will completely say, we're not white at all. Well, here you're going to listen to this Jew telling you, we whites. He identifies in South Africa. In South Africa, the Jews apparently see themselves as whites. So here you also get an idea of how in one country a Jew says this, and in another country a Jew says the complete opposite. So in South Africa, they talk about we whites. You'll hear it out of his mouth. But the key thing is the killing part, that he sees, or he's trying to tell us, that the Afrikaans people fear that they are the ones who are going to be killed the most by the blacks. And then the English speakers to a lesser degree, because they're busy sucking up to the blacks. Not all English speakers, but quite a lot of English speakers do that. And then Jews, of course, hoping that they're not going to be touched at all. And that'll give you an idea for how they feel about fear and how they feel about race war and where they have been trying to position themselves. They don't want the blacks to kill them, but they expect the blacks to go after the Afrikaans speakers. So listen to what he says there.
So let's, okay, get away from that. Let's take Afrikaners. So the Afrikaners initially thought, maybe all whites, but I'm taking them specifically, that the blacks would murder them, we'd go a bit easier, the blacks would go a bit easier on Jews and on English speakers, etc. And of course the communists would hate their guts. But they actually discover that we're not like that. There's some people we might be. And I'm so keen to be able to get across to that group of people that I don't have that hatred.
In the second clip, the clip that's following, this clip there was a lot of background noise, including a motorbike that nearly drowned him out. In this clip, he speaks about Mandela and the chief Albert Luthuli. And then he talks about the Christian, I think the British Christian, English Anglican Bishop Trevor Huddleston, a white Christian in Britain who is a enemy of apartheid. He openly challenges apartheid, blah, blah, blah. So you've got this white Christian who's writing books telling everybody how shit apartheid is, etc. But meanwhile, he's a British Christian knifing the whites in South Africa. And you'll hear him talking, and he's talking about Mandela and Luthuli, and then he's trying to say, well, you know, the whites are ignorant. The whites don't know that these blacks have got a vision for a multiracial state, and the whites are thinking that they are racists when in fact they're not, and the whites think that, you know, these are the natives who are going to kill the whites. These are the leaders of the natives who will kill the whites. But the whites have got it all wrong. So that is what he's saying in this clip. But the key thing about these two clips, so these are the two times where he talks about the blacks or the natives killing whites. And the whites fearing these blacks are going to come for them. And of course, he talks about how the whites have got it all wrong and misunderstood everything all along. And he says something about terrorism wasn't really in the vocabulary at the time, blah, blah, blah. I'm not so sure how many of these statements are accurate, because he himself was involved in bombing and blowing stuff up shortly after he joined the ANC. So here he's talking all non-violence and people misunderstanding. But his very first book was called Armed and Dangerous, and I have a copy. And in that book he talks about bombing. He was building bombs here in South Africa. He was blowing up infrastructure. He was working with the blacks. He was blowing up infrastructure inside South Africa before he had to flee South Africa. So there's a whole bunch of little things all over here where he's trying to tell these whites, no, you got it all wrong, you got it all wrong. But I just wanted you to hear these pieces. In a bigger piece later, I'll go through the entire discussion and I will talk about many things that he says that I think are nonsense, and where the historical facts prove his statements here to be wrong. But I wanted to get across to you this notion of racial conflict. He's talking about it. He's talking about it. And he's saying, no, whites all misunderstand it. Yeah, 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 sure, sure. Sure, whites misunderstood it. He's not mentioning military intelligence or spy networks, all the things that we knew. Don't think the whites just did things out of sheer ignorance. That is complete and utter nonsense. We had military intelligence, we had national intelligence, spies all over. South Africa especially had the greatest spy system of all the whites in Southern Africa. South Africa had a massive spy system. That a human spy system inside the country. Later on, South Africa had something that could be likened to the NSA, the National Security Agency in America. South Africa had the most advanced communications intelligence of any country in Southern Africa. South Africa spied on everybody in Southern Africa. They listened in on the radio messages. They were listening to everything. They knew what was going on in meetings. They knew tons of stuff. So this little story, no, the whites ignorant, whites don't know. No, forget that. That argument's not going to fly. You go and you start reading what the generals and the military people wrote and did. You'll see that argument, load of nonsense. But anyway, just listen to that. We'll discuss it later.
So, you know, when you see photos of a Mandela or even a Chief Luthuli or a Trevor Huddleston, you think that these guys are they black or like racist and wanting, like people would think today to some degree, through the years, that the word terrorism wasn't in the vocabulary at that time. But you know, these are the leaders of the natives who will kill all of us whites. And absolutely far from that. By the time I become politically aware and joining,
So those are the two clips, and I just wanted you to hear that. These guys are well aware of racial conflict, and they've been thinking in terms of racial conflict in this country. It was stuff they were thinking about a long time ago. They are very well aware, these diversity-loving Jews are very, very well aware of racial conflict. And that there is conflict and potential for conflict between races. And they just want to see to it that they come out okay. But just to give you an idea of some of what he says. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.